Hello, super friends. I'm Jason Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And we're here to do an audio commentary for you, but it's a little bit different. We're kind of inspired by Star Trek Discovery being out there in the world. And spoilers for Star Trek Discovery if you haven't seen it, but they go to the Mirror Universe.
Not that big a spoiler. Your space dad said that at Star Trek Las Vegas last year.
Yes, my space dad being Jonathan Frakes, yep. Commander Riker himself. So we thought that... What a great commentary to give some insight into Star Trek Discovery, a little bit of insight into Star Trek, would be to watch the first time the Mirror Universe ever showed up, Star Trek, the original series, Season 2, Episode 4, Mirror, Mirror. Now, if you are wondering, this episode is on Netflix.
Yep.
It's also on CBS All Access. And I'm not certain if it's on Amazon Prime.
I'm pretty sure it's also on YouTube, but it might be broken up into a couple different places.
Well, there you go. Ashley, you've seen Mirror Mirror before, correct?
I have. I like to think of this as the tan chest episode, because everyone's very tan and chesty in it.
I think that's just every episode of Star Trek.
But this is the one
series
with the deep V necks, and
sure,
they've powdered them all the way down to their belly buttons, right, and it's just extraordinary.
All right. So I'm very curious. It's been a while since I've seen this episode, mm-hmm, but... For me, this is one of those episodes where it doesn't get good. Like, this whole episode hinges off the final scene for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, it's the final scene between Spock and Kirk in that speech. One man can make a difference, Mrs. Spock. One man.
I don't like the Mirror Universe, but...
Heresy.
I just really don't. And I don't know if I think this is a good episode, but I think it is definitely an iconic episode.
Okay.
And the ripples of this episode are felt through... Every other
through pop
series.
Culture,
yeah.
Through
well,
all of pop,
South
the,
Park,
the beards,
the beards,
the beards.
Yeah.
All of pop culture. All right, so again, Star Trek Season 2, Episode 4, Mirror, Mirror. We are watching on Netflix. We have the episode queued up, and we are hitting play in 3, 2, 1, go. And we can see the purple sky.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
And the storm, the ion storm.
Look
it's
at
an
that,
ion storm.
The lazy Susan.
That is a lazy Susan.
I know.
Look at that leg that Uhura has given us.
She's got the gams.
Now look at this. This is classic TOS alien design.
Everyone looks vaguely Grecian.
We're just going to put a dot in his head and he's an alien.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember right, this is them. They're negotiating for dilithium crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because originally, the Starship Enterprise was powered by lithium crystals, and then it changes during the course of TOS to dilithium crystals.
Wasn't it lithium batteries
in
season 1?
No, it's always crystals, okay. But it's lithium, not dilithium.
I admire your ethics. Hope to prove the ours.
Jason, how do you feel about a green shirt, Kirk?
Do you know why they gave him the green shirt?
Because he was fat.
Because
hilariously,
no, Gene Roddenberry thought he looked fat, not because he was fat.
Well, that's what I meant. But I was gonna say he's not fat.
Yeah, he's not fat. He's very fit.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't mind the green tunic. I'm not a particularly big fan of it,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, it's okay. It gives him some variety. By the way, Scott Mance, good friend of this, of us.
Yes. He's been on the...
This was the first episode he ever saw.
I see how, if as a young person, you could be quite taken with this. If you want to hear him tell that story, check out our Enterprise History Lesson on Geek History Lesson.
Look at you.
But if you're here and you're a patron, I'm sure that you have... Already listened.
All right. Let's not watch the episode here.
Spock.
Look at these black outlines. This is the special effects of the day. Like, that is them phasing them in and out.
I love it. I love it.
All right. See, and
we're going
flip.
The wrong way.
You know, okay, what do we think about that flip? I think it's very effective. And look, the transporter beam's now red.
I think for the time, I think it is incredibly inventive and effective.
Do you like their Nazi salute, basically?
No, I don't.
No, it's a Roman salute, right?
I don't like, yes, that's the Roman salute that they're doing, because the Nazis took it from the Romans. Fun mm-hmm. real history lesson fact.
Fun fact, I like Kirk's green tunic more than this little gold vest.
Don't love the gold vest.
Leonard Nimoy, let's go to the, with the bikini. And Uhura's abs.
Yeah, she's got a six pack.
Now, a lot of people, when we do our Discovery reviews, we'll talk about like, oh, the darkness of Discovery is something that they've done through all this series. Like,
because no other series ever had shadows.
With the eyes and stuff like
yeah,
that. And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, look, yeah, they darken the lights mm-hmm. in the mirror, but that's not what we were referring to. We were referring to specifically the Mirror Universe characters having an aversion to light.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So.
Mr. Kyle.
Mr. Kyle is referred to in several TOS episodes, actually. Now, this is something that was introduced in this episode, that there is this little beam that each person has this thing that you can press and it like...
The garage door opener.
Yeah, and it tortures them.
Yeah.
I don't think they did the agonizers in Discovery. They did the agony booth, but they, not the agonizers.
No, and I think that's supposed to be like a precursor, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know.
I love the Mirror Universe or the Empire, the Terran Empire
logo.
The sword through
yeah.
through the
Earth. Yeah. Through the planet.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, we're going into the main credits right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the TOS main credits?
I really didn't the first time I saw mm-hmm. them. It's grown on me
yeah.
a lot.
Especially,
I think
we're
it's
watching
a good
the
theme.
Remastered version. It looks amazing. By the way, this opening monologue recorded in a hallway.
Nice.
He recorded it in a hallway behind the bridge set.
I learned how to play this on my flute. I'm a classically trained flautist. And Ooh. After doing that, it made me really appreciate the musicality. I don't like the VO.
And then the little jungle drums?
I love the jungle drums. I don't love the...
It's very Hawaii 5-0.
I don't love the singing over it. I think if you took the singing out, it would be perfect. It's very high.
It is high.
Which was a trend of TV theme songs
and
of the
lyrics.
Time.
You had to learn them for Retro Diaries.
I learned the first, I think, stanza or so of them. Yeah. You can embarrassingly watch me sing them off-key on our Retro Diaries episodes.
Star Trek brought to you by Ovaltine. Now back to the show.
Have you ever had Ovaltine?
No, and I never want
disgusting.
To.
Disgusting.
Jerome Bixby, I don't know what else he's written for Star Trek. Can't tell
Look
you.
At the purple on the planet. It looks amazing.
Now, again, this was one of the things that I loved for Discovery. It is transporting through an ion storm that brought them to the Mirror Universe, and they mm-hmm. use that in Discovery again, which I really enjoy. What do you think of James Doohan in the original series? Because he just, you know, he's going right to Mr. Scott.
I have a lot of admiration for James Doohan. Mm-hmm. He's a good Canadian. I think
he's a great actor.
He is a great actor. He makes incredibly strong choices. His Scottish accent is wildly inconsistent and not from a specific area of Scotland, but I don't care. I think he's tremendous. I even love him in his more corpulent days. I think you can do no wrong.
That was a rough
look at the lighting on Shatner's face. What a good looking man he was.
But that's a thing of 1960s television shows. Look at Spock right now. He has this insane godlight. That's something that the original series does. It's all
look
these
the green
these
in the
godlights. But think about how hot, how bright.
Oh, you can see. You can often see them sweating through their makeup.
Like, but that was one of the things of reason why TOS made such a big splash that it did, because the original cinematographer for TOS was a theatrical lighting designer, and he had never lit
Look
film
at
before.
Kirk's doing a really lazy version of the salute, mm-hmm. which really makes me laugh.
He doesn't have to. He's the captain.
But I think it's
a
supposed
commanding
to show
officer
that he's
does not have
that
to
he's
return
not
the salute.
Comfortable.
Yes, exactly. I love that that's the thing that McCoy is like, that acid.
Yeah.
Not that everything else in the ship looks different.
And now they're wearing completely different uniforms.
Damn it, Jim. That whole, my bottle of whiskey's empty.
I think I had that same beginner's chemistry set when I was about 7.
I'm trying to figure out what Kirk's metal is right here. Like, what's that material, that metal that's on his left shoulder?
It's plastic. Linoleum. Mm-hmm. Floor tile.
Yes, yeah. Not my universe, not a ship. It's interesting. I can barely hear the audio because we have to turn it down because we're recording this audio commentary, and I can almost beat for beat with having watched this episode in years,
mm-hmm.
repeat the patter of Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You do a good Kirk impression.
I know his tempo.
Yeah.
Spock with a beard.
if we're here.
That is a hell of a coincidence.
Look at how sweaty he is right here.
Yeah. I believe after this episode in the future, with the exception of Discovery, they don't do this one-for-one transfer anymore.
No, they do it in Discovery.
But, yeah, like, we just go forward, like, we could go over there. Like, so you can meet yourself in the Mirror Universe, or the Mirror Universe can meet yourself there.
Uhura has this armband on that looks like they got it from in Halloween Town... Cleopatra Discovery, like that classic Egyptian snake bracelet.
Can you imagine, again, like, and I've read some of the behind the scenes books about the original series. I just think about what a visionary idea pitching this idea is, to be like, okay, we're going to beam our characters up and they're going to go to the evil universe.
Well, and this is only 20 years after the Second World War. So the imagery and the iconography that they're borrowing, there's... still a generation of viewers that recognize where that's coming from. It's still very topical.
Oh, yeah.
It's a brave choice.
All the actors we're seeing on the show are children of World War II veterans. All those discs. Evil Sulu with the scar.
I love it.
His little targeting scanner.
Look at this extra in the background who doesn't know what to do with his arms. He's standing to the right of the door.
Well, his shirt is also shorter. Because look, it goes up. It's up on his waist.
Yeah.
And then also, like, it doesn't even...
He doesn't have a sash.
Uhura's abs. Well done. Nichelle Nichols.
She looks like Catwoman in this.
You were a looker back in the day, lady. I mean, that explains why she had the affair with Gene Roddenberry.
She could have done better than Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, yes. Much better. First time I noticed the little snake on her arm. Her little snake thing?
Yeah, her Cleopatra snake.
Oh, is that what that is?
Well, I think that's what it looks like. Her eyeliner is amazing.
Now, we all know that for George Takei, this is a great piece of acting. Oh, man, his scar does not look good in HD.
It looks real bad. Nude lip looks amazing,
though. This is a great piece of acting for George Takei because he clearly has no interest in her.
Yeah. Yes, girl. Got some Shatner pit hair right there.
But see, here's the thing. It's interesting you bring up the salute before. Kirk views his crew as his family.
Which is why he salutes them back.
No, it's why he hates it. That's why he hates it, because he hates to be in a position of power over them. He understands it, like, when the time comes. Like, and he's got to make his decisions. He's got to warp the later, you know? But, like... he doesn't need the respect. He wants respect through actions, through doing your job.
Sulu has great eyeshadow in this. He's got like the Spock eyeshadow, that kind of blue color.
You know, here's the weird thing. So, again, we saw an episode of Star Trek Discovery where they went down. They had to take out the Rebel colony. And basically, just because we're watching this episode.
Yeah.
They basically lifted that plotline from this episode. Again, this is Kirk. He has the orders to destroy the planet, and he's holding on it.
Well, that's not the first time Discovery's done that. They do lift very heavily from TOS, and it would be hard not to.
Sure. No damage. Cookout. Mirror Spock is a beast.
Mirror Spock looks like Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange. His physicality is so different, too. Like, his arms are never behind his back. He's at the ready at all times.
The Hulkins. I forgot about that. It's also, like, it's interesting. Mira Spock reminds me of Sinestro.
Interesting.
Because he's, like, he's very action-based. You know, he's very, like, just heartless. You know, stuff like that.
Mrs. Zulu.
It's also interesting because it's hard to see how a logical Vulcan could work in this evil universe. You know?
Do we know if the Vulcans of the Mirror Universe, are they still logic-based?
Yes, they are still logical-based because he still acts by logic. But it makes it very interesting because you have to go off the idea that his level of logic is skewed.
Yes.
That's the only way he could.
And his moral compass is skewed by our view.
Exactly. For him, for his idea of logic to still work. It's interesting. It's also, too, it's this is some great writing here. Because it's like, this is Kirk bending over backwards to maintain his power. And still act like this beast.
I mean, in a lot of ways, I think the scene is a direct, oh, he's super tan.
So this is where, that's where Chekhov makes the decision to kill him later in the episode.
Tan dad, Chekhov. I think that the Kirk in this episode is a direct result of the Kirk that we first see in Corbomite Maneuver.
How so?
He's trying to, this is a chess game for him, yep. And it's about preserving his power.
And it's
power.
A chess game between him and Spock.
Yes, as opposed to him and an alien force. But it's him doing everything that he can. I love that you have to hold on to the stupid things in the elevator. It's him doing everything he can to outmaneuver someone strictly through bluffing.
Yep. Here comes Chekhov.
I love, what a horrible hit.
Star Trek has a long history of palm hits.
Yeah. Well, in the 60s, this was when the American love affair with Asian cinema began.
Well, even TNG does it a lot, too. Like, Worf uses a lot of palm hits.
But I have always thought that that's what that comes from, is like kung fu movies, which is where heel palm strikes are very common.
Okay.
And then, if you're making TNG, it's that and then the double-fisted strike.
I love that Purple Planet.
Me too.
How are you making a log, Kirk? You're about to be killed.
Yo, Chekhov, I need a minute.
It's a common means of advancing in rank.
He looks like an evil monkey.
Yeah, but, you get him. The band now, again, what many people don't know is one of the tenets of every TNG episode was that it
TOS
had,
episode.
TOS, excuse me. It had to have a laser fight and a fist fight. That's partly why the network allowed it.
Man, these natural eyebrows are driving me insane. I hate the TOS jumpsuits. I think they're horrible.
Oh, really?
Why? I just think they're unflattering on everyone.
They are.
I get that you have them because they're easier to make than the...
That's a good move by Kirk.
The TOS shirts, I think they're awful.
That was a smart, smart move by Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Gotta wipe this ketchup off my chin.
What is the booth?
You can see his hair is thinning in the front, too.
Mm-hmm. It looks exactly like my quarters, Bones.
Yeah.
It's blood.
That was a very intimate gesture.
Like the ancient Gestapo.
Well, they would be.
I mean, I don't like when Star Trek calls things, like, because we don't call stuff from the 1800s ancient. Like, we don't call it the ancient Civil War.
Mm.
You know, and it's the same time frame for them. It's the same distance about, you know, it's a little bit more between. But yeah, we don't say the ancient American Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same time difference. Oh, their old computers are so terrible. Don't record it. This is how Spock figures that out, Kirk. Let me ask you this.
Mm.
Do you think a mirror universe movie could have worked? Now let's back up a little bit. Now, I'm not saying now. Let's back up. Could you have seen, let's say, one of the original series movies?
Mm.
Doing a sequel to this episode.
I'm honestly surprised that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't like the mirror universe, so I'm glad we didn't get one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm surprised because the best movies are derivative of the best episodes.
Yeah.
Wrath of Khan, case in point.
And also, I consider Undiscovered Country to be a sequel to, like, their three Klingon episodes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I am surprised that it was never considered because it does give you freedom that a Prime Universe movie wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
We could still see it. I mean, maybe that's what old Tarantino wants to do.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, he likes evil people with bad intentions. So. Mm-hmm.
The way that
the music just cut.
I need a mint julep. Tell us our history. Do you have 18 days?
Yeah, really. Nice Easter egg.
I love that. Vega 9 Vega is set on a lot of Star Treks.
But we've never gone to a Vega colony?
I don't know if we've never gone to a Vega colony, to be honest with you. I think we have. I think Delta Vega is where Prime Spock watches the planet burrow up in 2009.
Oh, you might be right.
I'm going to look up Vega 9 right now. Ha ha.
You can tell they shot this later in the day because Shatner's got 5 o'clock shadow.
The only other reference is in 2 days, two nights in the NX Enterprise. It said that Travis Mayweather was born during the Vega Dralax run. Now here are the mirror.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one problem I have with this episode. Their clothes change. See, like, they're wearing normal clothes.
Well...
Trader's pig. I love that line. Do you also love that regular Spock figures it out immediately?
Yes, which is why you can't have him flip over. I love how he's so badass right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is peak Spock.
Oh, this is a hell of an episode for Spock.
Because his subtext here is like, you effing morons. He's so good. I also love every time we get a crazy Kirk. I love.
We get a crazy Kirk like five episodes every season.
I love Enemy Within. Like, I love a crazy Kirk.
I've got that Kirk.
Yeah.
There's another episode later on when he, in season three, when he becomes a Native American, and I'm not joking.
Yes, it's a little problematic
and he's like,
by modern standards.
I'm Kirok.
Yes. Look at how trim he looks here.
Now, here's a clever production design. So they needed a force field, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the special effects to do it. So what do? Just shine a really bright light and act
effective.
Like there's a force field.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Mr. Cumberbatch has returned.
Look, there's another Vulcan. He has a Vulcan guard.
Ooh, I never noticed that before.
That is cool. I never noticed that either.
Maybe that's Sarek. Oh, not Sarek. What's his stupid brother's name?
Cybok?
Turok, yeah.
No, Cybok. Turok. Turok's a dinosaur hunter. Agony Booth looks pretty good.
Pretty good for the 60s.
Yeah.
What do you think about Kirk's shoulder fringes? He's got shag carpeting on.
Oh, my
on
God.
There.
Now that you pointed them out, I can never unsee them.
I think it's supposed to be like a gold braid on a uniform.
It's supposed to be like an admiral's kind of braid. I just didn't notice it until you pointed it out.
It looks like spaghetti.
I said I haven't decided, Spock. That's damn right. How come this is such a good name for an alien?
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So okay, so let's write this. Let's do this. Now we've seen the Star Trek Continues sequel to this episode.
That's a good episode.
Yeah, it's probably their best episode. Mm-hmm. I disagree with them continuing it immediately the moment after this. Okay, so let's work this out. What would you do? What would be your sequel to this? Like, how would you move ahead in time, or what would you
do? I would move ahead a year, and I would have them return to learn that Spock perpetrated a mutiny and is the captain, and Mira Kirk is dead.
Interesting. And so is Spock building the resistance? Because that's the end of this episode, is that Spock turns against the Empire.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's the end scene. Kirk convinces this Spock, and we learn in Deep Space Nine that this Spock leads a rebellion.
That's right.
And that's
yeah,
what,
maybe that would be more interesting
that's
to,
what
sit,
brings the
to
Empire
sit with
down.
The resistance you know? For a while. It's also more classically what you want from these characters, to do kind of like good guy stuff. This guy looks like
He's the stunt man of the day.
He looks like the dad from that 70s show.
Oh.
I can't think of the actor's name, yeah, and yeah. I apologize because he's a great actor.
Sure. Well done, McCoy. Well done.
Such ease, such confidence.
That'll hold him for 6 hours.
Jesus, what did you give him? He's going to wake up with a crick in his neck.
That's a light drug for the 23rd century. See, they're climbing in over engineering.
I'll tell you who does look fat in this is James Doohan. It's not a flattering...
He was never a thin gentleman.
No, but this is a really unflattering look with the belt for him. DeForest Kelly.
You know,
very thin.
I could be wrong. I think that's the first time we ever see that room overlooking engineering.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, this is Kirk's woman. His concubine. His mistress.
No.
I also believe, if I remember right, this is the first scene that introduces the Tantalus field.
Oh, you might be right.
Which is Kirk's secret weapon.
I love these cups.
That he can punish anybody on the ship at any time. Have you noticed that? Okay, so in the original Enterprise, in the Prime Enterprise, they don't have a lot of tribal art. And in every one of these quarters, we've seen some piece of like tribal African art.
I think it's probably, I don't know if
aggression?
They all are. I think it's supposed to be like war totems. She's out of focus and so is he.
It's interesting that she's calling it Starfleet Command. This is the Empire.
Oh, some bad words in the script.
They just didn't know what to call it.
What I think is very funny about the women's costumes in this is that you can tell that they're all wearing the pointy bras of the 1960s.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Which kind of makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Which were flattering on no one.
No one, no. And could not possibly have been comfortable.
Nope. So many wires.
Yeah. Her hair looks great, though.
If I'm to be the woman, you're to be the monkey.
No.
Again, back to the Roman thing, calling Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Music sounds like Ben-Hur.
It does sound... Maybe it's supposed to be evocative of that sort of, again, vaguely
Grecian...
Well,
they are doing Roman salute, so...
Look at the green. Oh, there's that weird Kirk wall art again. I noticed you were making out.
I have seen this image of Spock as a wall background in so many Google searches.
I believe that is Athena behind him, goddess of war. He speaks.
This is a great way to end an act.
Yes.
Because this sets up a ticking clock against our two main characters. Mm-hmm. That is a great act ender.
Leonard Nimoy changes his speech pattern as Mira Spock.
Mm-hmm.
It's careful and deliberate, but in a different way with
it's
different inflections.
It's more deliberate. And it's his voice is deeper.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that because it's subtle.
They're drinking Tranya.
Are they?
Yep. Tranya.
Would you like some Tranya?
Tranya. I don't intend to kill. Yeah, she is out of focus. Let's talk about William Shatner in this episode.
He's super tan.
Well, beyond the tanness. You got to realize this is also a time of color televisions are new.
No, I understand. So, I also understand this is a big, like, mm-hmm. Beach culture is very mm-hmm. popular right now.
That was literally a PA pulling that, sliding that little wall.
But the even the powder on him mm-hmm. is so dark.
Yeah. Do you agree with the attitude that William Shatner is a bad actor?
No. I think he has given bad performances.
Oh, 100%. But in, let's say, specifically this episode, Mirror, Mirror.
No, he's great in Mirror, Mirror, and he's earnestly great in Star Trek from the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really see his theatrical training. He started at the Stratford Festival of Canada, the city where I grew up and where I did a lot of training. And I think that it's on display here, and you really see him as a leading man leading his cast.
Mm-hmm. What is Spock looking at? Spock's just sitting there staring at a wall.
But this is very reminiscent of in Where No Man Has Gone Before, when Gary Mitchell is just like staring
at a wall.
They're staring at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted that sort of evocative.
Nobody gave her last looks. We couldn't wipe that hair out of her face.
No. She doesn't even have a name.
I agree with you. William Shatner gets a lot of terrible lines. And if he didn't have the gusto, Kirk wouldn't be.
He's great at stakes.
It's the idea of Jeffrey Hunter. You know, if Jeffrey Hunter had been the captain of Star Trek, I don't know if Star Trek would have worked.
I agree.
It's William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy
together.
And DeForest Kelly together that make this show work.
But I will say, yeah, that hair is going to really bother me now that you pointed that out. I will say that Shatner as
see, it's right across your face
as Kirk does. Become and stray into self-parody
in the movies.
But as you pointed out, it's not until much, much later.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen until Star Trek III.
Mm-hmm.
He's great in Star Trek The Motion Picture. He's great in Wrath of Khan. In Star Trek III, and I think it's because... Look, Leonard Nimoy directed the hell out of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Leonard Nimoy was a first-time director, and I think that was the first time that Shatner got to, like, get some wiggle room. Or he got to be a little bit, I'm going to say it, lazy.
Yeah.
And that's where Kirk started to break down. And then from that point on is where Kirk sort of becomes a joke.
I also think people think that about Shatner because he has lived in that self-parody realm for a long time. He's played heightened William Shatner.
Since the 90s.
In a lot of different stuff. And he makes good money doing
it. Yeah, why not? We all want to reach that point where we can just basically play a version of ourselves.
Totally. But I think that's also why, if that's your first... exposure to him, I could see why you would assume he's a bad actor.
I do love that green behind him right now.
The green screen?
No, it's a green wall like Mr.
Spock. I know,
Spock's
but it looks like a green screen, like a modern green screen.
They were literally filming 2 feet away from Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah. Well, don't you want to be that close to Leonard Nimoy?
Mm-hmm. Also, the interesting thing, the computer of the Mirror Enterprise
is male.
And the female is the Prime Universe Enterprise.
It would be cool.
I hate
cool.
that little.
So do I.
The typewriter.
It would be cool, and I don't think it is because Majel Barrett is the voice of the computer in Prime. If this was Gene,
sure. I don't think Majel Barrett becomes the full voice. She's not the voice of the computer in every episode.
No, I know that.
In TOS, and she doesn't become the full computer until TNG, but she's there here and there. You chill the F out, Sulu. I'll murder somebody when I want to murder somebody.
It's interesting to watch this episode, too, because we obviously were watching a lot of season one episodes when we were working on Red Shirt Diaries. They've really got the ears on Spock down, and you can't see the makeup line.
Unlike this like scar on Sulu's face.
Really perfected his look, and he doesn't look green anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's very green in season one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yeah, Spock looks good in this.
Well, it was actually yellow. It was always a shade of yellow they put on him.
But I think they made that choice because he's supposed to be green-blooded.
Sure, sure.
As opposed to painting him more of a red.
Sure, he looks green because it's the makeup with the lights.
And I think the blue shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But it's like a shade of yellow. Because I've seen pictures of him.
Because it stops at his neck and you're like, that's not right.
That's a pretty hot outfit. I'll go with that
that's
weird.
That's a hell of an outfit.
It's like she walked out of the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat sequel.
I don't know any songs from that.
Josephina in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. She's wearing like a weird bathing suit bikini under there.
I know,
as well.
And she has a piece that's around her
Fix
her
your hair!
Waist.
Last looks, damn it!
I would literally just cut that off.
Mm-hmm.
I would take a pair of scissors and I would cut it off.
How did nobody catch it?
No one cares. Does she even have a name?
Oh, Kirk's tired. Look at William Shatner in the shot.
This is either really early or really late in the day.
So there is a great book. I've talked about it on several of our Geekish Lesson podcasts. It's called These Are the Voyages. And there's one for season one of the original series, season two, and season three. And it literally breaks down.
But look at how he's looking at her. Like, he actually cares what happens to her.
Sure. It actually breaks down... every draft of writing, every script turn in, and it goes through with like, this is what they shot on day one, day two, day three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes fascinating because I would be interested to go back in here and learn like, was this an early morning scene or a late night scene? They had so many long, Star Trek the original series was always overtime.
This is
always.
And this new cut, when they cut back to him, that's a different time because he looks Looks, I think he looks fresher.
He looks pretty, he looks kind of tired, so. He is. He loves her. Oh, that shot. Yeah, you're definitely, that shot that we just cut
from.
Yeah,
the close-up is.
It's a different day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, his eyes aren't as puffy.
It's pretty seamless, though.
But all of her takes are on the same day because her
Her hair is still messed up.
Ugh.
It's even in the wide shot. Look.
I know. They shot her out in a day, I bet, or 2 days. They probably spent a whole day with her here, which is why he's tired.
I've been a captain's woman. Oh, that's right. That's what they're called, the captain's woman.
What are they called in Firefly? Companions?
Yeah, sure. She's going to go through every officer in the fleet. See, this is Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kirk. Kirk believes in you. He's going to get his kiss, but he believes in you. He doesn't care.
His mouth is on her chin. Like, his lips are there. They finally actually put their lips
together. Because they can't actually real kiss because this is 1966.
That's so weird.
So
he just looks like he's trying to eat her face.
Yeah, they can't actually kiss.
Oh, look. Her lipstick is all over his lips now.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle.
That's a great line, too. You're a stranger. You're my woman. Me, man.
Hits her with a club.
He says he.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there is some great dialogue in this episode. Some amazing, amazing written pieces of dialogue. Okay, so that piece of art that he just walked past as well, that is always in his quarters, but instead in this universe, they just added medals
to it. Yeah.
And she has access to the Tantalus field. So she's going to look at him. Is she going to kill him? Is she going to betray him?
The piece of hair is still there.
Mm-hmm. Get...
He's not holding any of the little thingy-majiggies.
And that's something that you have to do in TOS. That's very interesting.
His hand is on the wall, but he's not holding any of the...
He's acting like he's holding... Oh, I love these Jeffrey Stube shots. Love them. Because just this little like sideways thing they built into a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But they always filmed it from down.
Look at her earrings.
They're great.
Yeah, but if you were in a military organization, like how unregulation are those?
Look... Starfleet is the most relaxed military organization I've ever seen. Now, this is a great scene for her because she gets to, like, threaten Sulu.
Yeah.
She's basically saying that Sulu doesn't know how to flirt.
Yeah.
It's because he doesn't like ladies.
He's like, I wish your name was Brad.
What?
His husband's name is Brad.
Oh, Sulu was thinking that. I thought Uhura was thinking that.
Oh, no.
What did look at? Okay, there's a guy in the back right corner. He just leaning against the wall.
He kind of looks like he's going to touch himself.
She just attacked him. This guy's still leaning on the wall. He's like, I don't care. I've always wanted to see a cat fight. He's sort of, that's a great shot. It's a very iconic shot of the original series. None of these dudes in the background.
This African-American guy in the background is feeling very gratified by this fight.
I don't even know where he's looking.
Look at how short her skirt is in the front.
I like the idea that it has a different length, like in the front. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's one dude on the left here. He's almost checking her out. He almost laughed.
He's also sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is red as...
All right, here we go. Great scene. I think this is, if you were to talk about the great scenes of TOS.
Look at how hairy his arms are.
Look at an interesting thing. There's something happened with the film stock here because it became more.
It's almost blown out.
It became very yellow and it also has become, there's not as much contrast anymore.
It's like the third Instagram filter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like tapioca.
Yeah.
Yep. Tapioca. God, it's so good. Disciplined. Oh, that's right. You find out that he mind melded with McCoy, and that's how he figured it out.
He He looks like a Kirk looks like a Ken doll here.
Well, it's because they're backing him with two lights. He's got a light in front of him.
Where is all this light coming from? I mean, look at the shadows. This is a dark room.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. We're still a little bit early here. The entire landing party. I imagine the landing party just had a great time. Planets. Oh, and there's their stunt doubles.
Look at that stunty who looks nothing like Leonard Nimoy.
Nothing like Leonard Nimoy at all.
Oh, that was cool.
That was actually Leonard Nimoy getting kicked in the chest.
That was a good, whoever, Kirk's stunt double did a great,
oh, that's them. That's actually William, that's actually Leonard and William there. Yeah, that's them. So it's only for the overhead shots that it's not Leonard.
Oh my God.
That is not,
smash into a wall.
That Dr. McCoy guy was Asian, stunt double.
Oh, like Theon Arrow.
Yep. Yeah, it's only these shots. The overhead shots.
Terrible.
Oh, man, look at Spock's evil eyes. Oh, my God. I'm going to bash you in with a skull.
That was just conveniently laying on the floor of sickbay.
The music just suddenly stopped again. It's like, you're going to save him? Ah, McCoy.
Very sweaty.
Well, just the McCoy, the consummate doctor. You know, that he's like, I got to fix this guy. Even though he
literally
doesn't,
looks like he's lifting Spock up by his crotch.
You know? No, he's fireman's carry. Good God.
Her hair is all wonky. Ooh, Scotty also very sweaty in this scene.
Well, they just had a giant fight scene.
They could have cut and put some powder on. She's been watching him for like 45 minutes.
Go! She's watching the episode.
Her
just
hair
like
is still out of place. Oh my God, they're all so sweaty.
It's a great smile from Kirk. Now, I forgot. Is this Sulu's attempt to get the captain?
I think so.
I bet you George Takei loved this episode because he finally got to do something with Sulu.
Yeah.
So.
I like evil Sulu. He's fun.
Oh, will it? Look at that smile, Mr. George Takei, waving that knife around.
Yeah, that really plasticky knife.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Tantalus field.
Yep.
Or as we like to call it, the dissolve.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest with you, the only reason the Tantalus field exists in this episode is purely to just save them from this scene.
Yes, absolutely. It's a deus ex machina.
Yeah, because otherwise they have no way to get out of this scene.
This is the little West Side Story scene here.
We're going to fight around the table. McCoy, fix Spock. Stop watching them.
Sulu kind of goes down real easy. This has not been 5 minutes, bro.
Yeah, Scotty, it's maybe been three. Just chill. You don't leave bones. God, it's lesson one. You don't leave a man behind, Kirk.
He's just leaving Sulu on the floor.
He's still there. He's unconscious. Their medical readouts, too. I love that screen, but it makes absolutely no sense. Like, none at all. Yeah, I will say Leonard Nimoy's McCoy. I want to say his McCoy beard. His beard doesn't look that terrible.
It's not bad.
You know, it's not great, but it's not terrible.
Because he loves you, Spock. He groks you, Spock.
He does grok him. What is grok, in case somebody doesn't know?
Grok is an old 1960s and 70s fan fiction term for sexy time love that originated in Star Trek slash fiction between Kirk and Spock.
I actually love the TNG Voyager Deep Space Nine mind meld words. My mind to your mind.
My
thoughts to your thoughts.
It's better than this.
Well, they didn't, again, you know, it's the first time through. They didn't know what they're doing. It's fine. Just fine. It is quite a violation to be mind melded against your will, as we see later in with T'Pol in Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah.
Her hair is still jacked up. God,
they must have done 20 takes and nobody fixed this poor woman's hair.
Yeah.
Or gave her a mirror.
Mm-hmm. You can count.
The 60s is the end of that very high feminine voice in performance, which drives me absolutely insane. Because, like, that's not her voice. No one speaks like that.
No.
But it's like the Disney princess affectation of the time.
Karate Chopper, come on, help out. There you go. I knew you could do it. Handheld camera there, right there.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah, it's still handheld. Now we're back on sticks. You're not very common in 1960s television.
This really didn't look that hard for McCoy. He just walked out into the hallway.
There's always auxiliary power on the Enterprise. You can always reverse the polarity and auxiliary power. It always happens. Or link it through the deflector dish. Come on, Scotty. I'll operate the controls manually. Have the girl do it. Although I forgot, Spock does it. Spoilers.
What?
Yep. Because we're going to get that scene. One man can change the future. One man. Ashley.
Jason.
One man. You just try to kill us.
Do you think they're right to leave her behind?
They can't take her.
Why not?
Because you unbalance the universe.
Kirk can do whatever he wants.
You can't unbalance
the
universe.
And often does.
That's true. He does break so many prime directives and warp factors and stuff like that.
That's something I really appreciate about the Kelvinverse is Kirk does get called on his shit.
On his crap.
Yeah. More than this Kirk.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, everything we've seen, do you agree with Spock's choice here that he would just let him go?
I think it happens a little quickly, and I think it happens a little conveniently.
You think Spock should have learned earlier in the episode?
Yes, and I think if Kirk were actively trying to convert him for a while, I would buy it a little more.
The Empire is illogical. You are illogical.
You know, but they only have 60 minutes.
That's like,
and this is a great scene.
Oh, I love this scene. That's like he's talking to a computer and like giving it a paradox that it can't solve.
Like Bender.
Mm-hmm. One man could change the present. Love that line. One man can change the present. Such a Kirk line. Such like the best Starfleet line of all
time. The best of humanity. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you think she grows up to marry Mr. Spock?
You know what? I like that. Yes, because she's in this scene.
I bet she would go with him.
Indeed.
That's so good. That eyebrow quirk is a very popular gif on the Twitchers.
Tyranny or freedom? And we know the answer to this. He chooses freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kirk's speech works.
Yeah.
Like, Kirk wins this episode by talking. There's one man with a vision.
Great lighting.
Yeah, we don't get the answer. We get the very...
That's a Vulcan answer, though.
Mm-hmm. I shall consider it. Well, that's basically as close as yes you're ever going to get.
Yeah.
You know. And then, of course, we don't get to see the switcheroo. We just get to see our characters beaming in. Back into a green tunic.
Get back in your fat shirt, Shatner.
Wouldn't it have been funny if their clothes were switched? Like Kirk's wearing like Uhura's bra or something like that?
I would love that.
Love that purple planet.
I do too. I know it's just a different color slapped on top of it, but it looks great.
Now, of course, we have to end the scene with a joke, or the episode with a joke.
He's basically like, you were screaming lunatic.
Yeah, he was like, you idiots act like humans, and I figured it out. If I read my Spock
correctly.
It's
a cute line. That's so rude.
It's about a shade there, McCoy. He's like, no, I had it on, like, basically you threw poop at me and I watched it.
Yeah, yeah.
Splendid examples. Very.
It got real shady up in here.
Oh, Digispock.
My God, I hate the joke music.
See, there we go. Yep, see, we get our joke. There we go. Classic 60s. Oh, yeah, and this is the introduction that she's on this ship. I forgot about this.
And we never see her again, right?
No, never again. Okay,
her hair is much cuter here.
So this shot right here, Lieutenant.
Moro.
No, watch Kirk. You've seen this shot before. And this nod?
Yeah.
Where he goes, yes. This is the shot that they inserted Avery Brooks into.
Yes.
In Trials and Tribulations.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I just wanted to point that out to everybody. If you ever seen DS9 Trials and Tribulations, this is the shot.
If you haven't, you must watch it this.
But
you must.
Because they do the same thing
episodes.
Where he's like, Lieutenant? Yeah.
Lieutenant Sisko.
Mm-hmm. Familiar.
Cute.
Likeable girl. But that's a nice way. I forgot about that ending. That's a nice way to end this episode to show that she's over here.
I would have liked to see her as like a tertiary character who.
Nah, it's guest part.
Showed up.
Gene L. Coon, one of the greatest writers in Star Trek. Producer. He's basically responsible for the entire season.
For all the things that you like.
Yeah. I love Gene Coon. All right, there we go. That's the end of Mirror Mirror. We're looking at the credits right now.
Yeah. There's a great thumbnail that just popped up for the Apple.
For the episode
that kills the most red shirts.
Ashley, let's round up some thoughts. What did you think about the end of Mirror Mirror?
The end of Mirror Mirror specifically?
Just the whole episode in whole.
Kirk's henchman gets a credit here, which I love. Mirror Mirror is a very well-written episode and a very well-acted episode, whether or not it's a trope that I particularly like. Every time I revisit TOS, I'm struck by how good it is and how much it holds up, even amidst the ridiculous 1960s smooching and punching. That was a good way to spend an hour.
Yep.
How about you? What do you think?
Mirror Mirror is solid, has a great line. The thing that stood out to me this time is the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're going to talk about it. The specific word choices were so smart. And I agree with you. There is a reason why Star Trek has been around for plus 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's because this show is very timeless.
It's transcendent.
And some people will be like, I just think it looks dopey or I think it looks stupid. Well, I think you're dopey and stupid if you say that because you have to have a suspension of disbelief in everything you watch in theater and all that.
Particularly with genre.
Yeah. And if you put your suspension of disbelief, the stories carry you through. They're so... Man, like, you know, no episode of Star Trek Discovery has affected me that way.
I would definitely agree with that.
So,
yeah.
I think it's worse off for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. All right. So this was Mirror Mirror. Thank you so much for listening to our audio commentary of it. And thank you so much for your support over at patreon.com/Jawin. You're totally awesome people. And you know what? To be honest with you, I would believe you could change the future, all of you.
Aww.
I think all of you can change the future. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Bye-bye, super friends.